Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Party Foul.
Party on, Wayne.
Yeah. So we're here recording live at TGX. If you hear in the background there's some noise and stuff, that's because there's currently the final round of the Shark Tank 2.0 is going on. And in the top spot, we got Bubba versus Mick Waters. So I'm one of your hosts. I'm Scott. You've heard my voice before. And I have a special guest with me today. You maybe recognize his voice.
I doubt it.
Oh, it's only been a year and a half. I think
it's been a year and a half since I recorded a podcast.
Yeah. And this is your first time on my podcast. So,
well, yeah, I'm glad to be here. This is exciting.
This is great for us. Yeah. That's like we got the legend.
No, that's not true.
The legend, John Damaris.
Yep. Yeah. You can't call me a legend, though.
Oh, I can, I did, and I will. Yeah. So
I'm excited, dude. This is, like, awesome. To see the way this con is growing, like, I'm so happy for you.
So for people that don't know, TGX, it's in its third year. TGX stands for Tabletop Gaming Expo. In the first year, we were in a smaller venue, and I begged John to come up. And I'm like, please bring us some validity and bring your store up. And he did.
He came and hung out. And
yeah.
You don't need me for validity.
It was fine. Good. It helped us out for sure. And hopefully you got a couple sales. Well, I know you did because I manned the booth.
Yeah, I know because I put you to work.
You're like, I'm going to go play Magic. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I was the worst at the time.
That was good. I had a blast. A nice picture of me there. And I think it pops up in my feed every year. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. You look good behind the booth there, Scott. Maybe that's you missed your chance. Calling.
Well, maybe. Maybe we'll figure something out.
Yeah. That'd be sweet.
Yeah. So this is, you're not playing War Machine, though.
No, I'm not. I think I might be done with War Machine, unfortunately.
Somebody has retired.
I'm officially retired, but I'm still here at TGX.
That's good. That's all I care about. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Just come roll some dice. And yeah. So what are you, let's tell everybody what you're playing. They're going to be probably booing us, but whatever.
Probably. I have gone over to the dark side, and I'm playing Warhammer 40,000. So I'm playing 40K, which is actually kind of exciting for me, because I started playing that, I was thinking about this, in 1990 or 91 when I originally started.
I think I got you beat.
Yeah?
Because 90, 91, I was probably like grade 10, and I started it
How old are you?
I'm 42.
Okay, yeah, so I'm 44. So, yeah. Yeah.
I think I started like maybe 2 years before you.
Yeah. I might have started a little earlier than that. I played fantasy like in 88 or 89.
You beat me because I wasn't playing 40K then. But yeah, it was like maybe 89 I probably started it.
Oh, dude, I still remember the first set of Terminators that I bought. And the Assault Cannon I thought was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And they were like the most static models you've ever, like, if you ever go back and look at those old models, you're just like, wow.
I had the first edition, I still have the first edition Space Hulk.
Yeah.
And nothing is worse than the Terminators out of that.
Oh, I believe you.
I don't even have any of those left. I have the Gene Stealers still, because they were still awesome. They never really changed.
No, I don't think they have.
No, they're pretty close. Well, the new editions were different, but yeah, they're still good.
Oh, man, around that time when Space Hulk was out, my friends and I, we used to make these giant multi-level Space Hulks.
Drooling.
I know, just play for hours and hours. It was so much fun. And then the game I remember the most playing at the time was Epic.
See, I remember we dabbled in Epic, but it never took off with us. So I had the models and stuff, but we never really figured it out. But back in like Rogue Trader days, let's go way back when. For us, we never really understood the point system. It was more like buy stuff and put it on the table.
Yeah.
So we didn't play with points. So my buddy would crush me, and my parents were divorced. So I'd be like, Dad, you got to take me to Games Workshop in Toronto. So I'd make him drive me an hour into Toronto, and we'd go to Games Workshop. He's like, well, what are we doing here? I'm like, you got to buy me that tank. So then I'd come back with a Predator, assemble it, paint it, put it on the table, and then I win. It was just, and then he would go out and buy something, and we'd just go back and forth. And
yeah, it's an arms race.
Yeah, and their games ended up taking like 6 hours. But they were awesome.
I remember, I have a vivid memory. My friend started playing Harlequins. He was all excited about it. And they had a 4-inch unit coherency, right? And so we made him play with a 4-inch unit coherency. We thought, wow, that's a really big restriction, because we never played with unit coherency. we somehow didn't figure out that there was a 2-inch unit coherency in the game. So he was just like, wait, why do I have to, this is terrible. I have to keep my guys within 4 inches of each other? And yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, see, good times. But that's what got me into miniature wargaming. So I played 40K for a lot of years. Then I took years off and then came back to it for a lot of years. And then eventually a couple people who were unsavory in our group. And they kind of ruined the, you know what I mean?
Like, I
they
do just, know.
It sucked the fun out of it. And I think we'd played a tournament somewhere, and I won. And while we're looking around, I'm like, hey, what's this War Machine game? I'm like, look, you can get a starter box for $50. And I won like $100. So I think I bought myself one, and I bought one for Greg because he was kind of like the leader of our party, which party fell Greg. He's with me. And that started it for us. But it was like, I think it was every Wednesdays we used to play at his house. So we'd play, basically it was like 3 weeks of War Machine, or 3 weeks of 40K, 1 week of War Machine. And then it became 50-50, and then 75-25, and then we never played 40K again.
Yeah, somewhere along the line, I got kind of disenfranchised with Games Workshop. I don't know exactly what the impetus was, but I just felt like they were not plugged into their community, they didn't care about their players, you know, all the same old tropes. And then, you know, I had some personal stuff go on, and I ended up leaving War Machine and gaming altogether. Like, I don't, in the last year and a few months, I did almost no gaming.
That would make me sad.
Nah, it was good for me. I needed the time to
slowly charge your batteries up, right?
Yeah, like, yeah,
you
exactly.
Missed it, and
yeah, and then I was like, gosh, I want to play something. I miss the social aspect of it, and so I started looking around, you know, looking at games, and then I found out that Games Workshop is doing balance updates basically 3 times a year, and I was like, whoa, that's really weird.
That's for them, that's very weird.
No, it's amazing,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, but before it was, they were never like that.
And then I started looking. I'm like, okay, well, what are the best armies? And, like, there's, like, a million different armies that win events right now. Like, you can play almost anything and be competitive. And I'm like, no, that's not even possible. Like, that's impossible. And then I'm like, well, maybe the community is still, like, terrible. And so I started watching videos. And they, like, I remember it struck me. I was watching a video. And the one guy says to the other, you know, oh, I didn't know that rule was like that. And, the other guy's like, oh, man, I don't want you to have a feels bad. Let's back up a little bit. And I'm like, wait, what? What's a feels bad? So apparently now the leaders of the community have sort of put forward basically don't be a jerk. But they call it, you know, don't give your opponent a feels bad. You know, so they try to have clarity about the rules. And then I found out that some of the best players in the game are playtesters for GW now, people that have had huge tournament success. So I'm like, what is this new GW? So they have, like, the models that I remember coming into the game with, so they always have more nostalgia for you, right? I mean, I love Terminators, so I'm like,
the Terminator look of them, just, like, my imagination. Like, that's why I love Space Hulk so much. Like,
yeah.
You know, I just love that, like, they're going down the dark tunnel.
Right, and they have, like, the lights coming off the armor, like, panning over.
Love that.
And then
stuff.
You see a Gene Steeler come. Yeah, like, it gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
So I've decided to start playing 40K, and then I was just going to do it for fun, you know?
Which is what you should be doing anyways. Like,
yeah.
I'm not as competitive as I used to be at War Machine. I just say I play for fun now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the desire to go to the tournaments anymore. Like,
yeah, I was definitely at that spot. So I think in looking back, one of the things I can say safely is I had way too much on my plate. So in trying to run Muse as a business, do the podcast, work a job full-time.
That was insane.
Yeah, and then
a family,
you know,
life.
Have a family life, yeah. You know, blah, blah, blah. And it kind of broke me, right? but after I started playing 40, I was having so much fun with the game. I'm like, God, this game is, like, surprisingly tactical. And I'm, like, putting all this thought into list building and doing crazy stuff and trying things, and I'm like, this is really fun. And so then I decided maybe I should go to a tournament, and then I kind of got the bug. So I think actually, at least in the short term, I'm going to try to be kind of competitive, which is, like, here, I just decided out of the blue, I think I hit you up, I'm like, oh, you've got a big 40K tournament at TGX, right?
And you made the drive all the way up here.
Yeah, so. I drove 14 hours by myself to come play 40K. So,
yeah, at first you were like, if I can find someone, I'll go. And then you were just like, no, I'm coming.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, let's room.
Yeah.
We got this.
You made it easy for me. And it's awesome because I get to see lots of the War Machine community, who I love very much.
And love you back equally.
Maybe.
I don't know one person in this room that didn't give you a hug. Like.
Well, that's probably true. Yeah. So I'm pretty fortunate. But yeah, so, and then you were like, nobody will podcast with me. And I'm like, dude.
As you see me, I was just about to put it all away. I was like, I tried a couple times today, but like Jeremy McClure, Mr. McLegion, he was he had a bye. And I was like, come on, let's record a podcast. I was like, no. I'm like, what do you mean no? He's like, no, I have a speech impediment, which he doesn't. He just is, I don't know if he's generally afraid of the mic or what, but he wouldn't do it.
I get it. I get it. Also, my mic discipline's really bad right now, so
that's fine.
I apologize. The sound's going to be all over the place.
And then we have the background noise, so like, this is what it sounds like in a con. It's actually pretty quiet now because all that we have left are four tables going with a couple of people walking around and
right.
stuff. But otherwise, if it was at like 2 o'clock when I was trying to do it, it was a lot louder.
Tomorrow's going to be a big day.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be insane. But I'm down in the small room tomorrow, so...
Yeah, so like, if you guys are out and about and trying to decide a con to come to, you should come to TGX.
Well, I appreciate that.
No,
So for the people who play 40K, we'll have to post this somewhere because that's more interested for them. The GT is now a major.
Yeah, which is big news.
Which is pretty huge.
So this is going to be my third 40K tournament. My first GT, my first major, so it should be interesting.
That's and every year the 40K has been growing, which is great. But of course, we know what's going on in War Machine. It's kind of like in limbo right now because they announced Mark IV.
And Oblivion and blah, blah, blah.
It's not really Mark IV, but that's what we've been calling it because it's Mark 3.5. They're kind of like fixing it up and stuff.
Wiping the site clean and...
Yeah.
It's exciting stuff.
I was fine if they would have done a 2.5. Like, I enjoyed 2. Like, I didn't have any problems with it, so...
So, I'm biased, but as I reflect on War Machine, the beginning of Mark II till, like about 3 years in was such a... For me, a great time.
You were a legend.
I was not a legend. I will say this, though. I was competing a lot, and I didn't realize how much I missed, like, actually trying to compete. Because for a long time, I just didn't have the cycles to be able to actually be competitive, you know? And now I do. Like, got a lot more free time in my life, so, you know, can take advantage of it.
That's good. Maybe that's my problem. Not enough free time.
It is difficult when you have young children.
It is. But my little dude, he's the best. Parker's 7. He's 8 in November.
He's awesome.
I keep buying more stuff because I'm stupid, but I know he's going to love it. So I've got Mom and Pop now, and I've been buying that stuff like crazy. I've only played one game.
Yeah.
It was a ton of fun, and I know he's going to like it. So that's kind of what I'm doing, is gearing my stuff for him to get him into it.
There you go.
We have I have my Space Hulk, and I mean, Space Hulk, if you haven't played it, it's a great game, but it's ruthless.
It is, yeah.
You can make one tiny mistake or one dice roll, and it's over. Like, you know, you lose your flamer, and then the whole mission's done or whatever. And so I explained that to him and stuff, and he was like, I gets it. And so normally he plays the Space Marines, and I'm the Gene Stealers. And I don't hold back punches. I'm like, you got to earn the win, buddy. I'm not going to give it to you.
Yeah.
And there's like, I had one situation where I had a Gene Stealer that had 5 movement to get to his flamer, and that's the last thing. He needed the flamer to live. I'm like, I got one attack, dude. If your guy dies, you lose. And then he had like, I rolled the dice. He got a 6. I got a 6. He got a 2 or whatever. And then he had like the tear or whatever. Like, no. Don't cry. We're going to reset and do it again. You've learned from this game. Let's try it again.
Yeah.
And then he crushed me.
Tough love.
There was nothing I could do. I tried as hard as I could to beat him that, and I couldn't do it.
Isn't that just great? Crushed
me. I loved it. It was one of the hardest missions, and he did it. And I was like, see, now we get to do mission 2. And he's like, what? I'm like, you pass this mission, we go to the next one. He's like, yeah. I think he's up to mission 4. Like,
nice.
And again, I hold no punches. And he loves it.
My son, when he was a little bit older than that, maybe 9, Brendan, I remember we used to play Risk a lot, and he beat me like 5 times in a row legit. And I was so like, I didn't play him for like a month, and it wasn't intentional. I didn't even realize I had done this, but I just like didn't make time to do it because I was kind of salty about losing to a 9-year-old, you know? This is in hindsight that I realized this, right? During the time, I didn't realize it. And then I come home from work one day, and Risk is on the kitchen table, right?
Oh, nice. He's already got a plan.
He's
for
got it.
It
all set up. He's like, Dad, do you want to play Risk with me? And my now ex-wife looks at me like, you should probably play Risk with your son. So I play him, and I just obliterate him. And my son is a terrible sport normally, right? And he's just like, good job, Dad. You're doing really good, right? And I'm like, just like playing the game, and I win, and I'm like all happy. And then I wake up in the middle of the night, and I realize...
He totally threw the game.
He let me win. My 9-year-old threw the game so that I would continue to play with him, which made me feel like a terrible father, but at the same time, pretty proud of him.
That's exactly where you got to feel proud of that moment.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
awesome.
Sweet. Yeah. Man.
Yeah, I find I've got all these little mini games at home. So, like, now I got Mom Pock, I got, like, X-Wing. I just keep buying all this stuff because I know we're just going to be able to play this stuff together.
Yeah.
And I love that.
It's such a great journey. So, I don't know if you saw, they have a new 40K that they're targeting to children under 10.
Oh, God, no.
It's going to be a simplified rule set, and they're going to take a little of the grimdark out of the miniatures, so, like, the orcs look a little more cartoony, a little less savage. It's kind of cool. And then they have you seen Warhammer Adventures?
No.
They have, like, small, I don't want to call them children's books. They're, like, tween books that are in the Warhammer universe. So the first one's called...
They're smart.
Attack of the Necron. Yeah, we need GW to be a good GW because they're going to get people in the hobby, which is good for all of us.
Yeah, any right? hobby, and then they grow from that hobby to other ones that exactly. they discover on their own. Like, it makes sense, but I'm just like, they are genius. Keep going, and then I'll tell my...
I mean, there's not much else to it, but I've actually listened to that audiobook, and it's kind of fun. It's called Attack of the Necrons. It's about 3.5 hours, and I think it's a really good introduction to the world for... And they don't... Like, they do a good job of explaining stuff, and like I said, taking a little of the grimdark out of it. Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
They're doing good things with their mini games. Like, they don't... There's one thing I love about what they do is they don't target, like, their own fans. They just make a good game and then finds an audience.
Yeah.
I mean, the GW guys love it probably and come to it anyways, but that's what I find is not that they're like, hey, all you guys who play 40K, you know, like, here's Shadespire. Like, it's just, they're just like, here's Shadespire.
Yeah.
And then it finds its audience.
Yep.
But I find that PP is like, hey, War Machine guys, play our skirmish one. Here's Company of Iron.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I looked at it and I was just like, no. Like,
no, I'm out.
No, like, I don't want to play different stealth rules because that's going to mess me up in the other game. Like, I need it to either be the same or that's just me, maybe. But
no, I don't think that's just you.
And then also the Pharaoh and Signar, I was like, what a horrible choice. Like, again, they just needed to, maybe Riot Quest is the answer. I don't know.
Who knows? I mean, it might be really cool.
Maybe. I mean, I will say that I was against Mompok when it first came out. But then eventually I warmed up to the idea, and I was looking for something else to paint.
Yeah.
I wanted something different. I was like, oh, these monsters, that could be fun to paint. And then the contrast paints came out.
By the way, I'm playing Grey Knights in 40K. I built that army. It's the first army I've ever painted on my own. It was because of contrast paints that I even tried. And they look terrible, but they are tabletop quality.
That is not terrible.
Yeah.
Tabletop quality is awesome.
I'm very happy with it, but they're not technically good painted models, but I'm very happy
painted
with it.
Models. Yeah. That's what matters. I don't care what people's like. We got Charles, man. Charles is an awesome player, but he hates painting. Yeah. That's the worst thing in the world to him, and he only plays fully painted when he has to.
Yeah.
And if you look at his models, they're like the weirdest looking things you've ever seen. Color choices are like, what are you doing? But he doesn't care. That's not what he enjoys the hobby.
No,
I don't really love painting either.
Yeah.
But I've started to appreciate it more because I've also learned to cheat. So, yeah. Like, the Zenith technique with the airbrush. And I bought an airbrush. So that really helped, too. That sped up the process and improved the quality than just my brush strokes.
So, true story, I bought an airbrush. I airbrushed my Grey Knights, and then I stripped them, and then I painted them with contrast. That actually happened.
But I would still airbrush them.
Yeah.
But just I would do it differently. So, like, I would do the gray, or like I said, base them black, and then use the gray or the white to zenith them, and then use the contrast paints.
That might be really good.
Because the white will pop with the contrast paints, and then the dark parts, the contrast aren't going to even affect it. And
that's
it's
cool.
going to give you the shade look.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
That's awesome. I will let you know. I think I'm going to be playing it painted from now on.
That's all I do now.
You can't go to 40K events and play unpainted typically.
Depends on the events, yeah.
But most of them you can't.
Yeah.
So you might as well just get in the habit of playing. And yeah.
Greg's the one who got me into that because I would always be like, I buy something new, give it to him, he'd paint it and give it back to me. So I could not actually play with it unpainted because Greg had it until it was painted.
Because
he was a super nice friend and was a way better painter and way faster than me. Like 5 hours on a model for me was 45 minutes for him.
Yeah.
And his came out 10 times better. So that's where I was like, Greg, you're painting for me. And
that's amazing.
He painted two of my armies for me.
That's a good friend.
He's a great friend.
Actually, I need to hang out with Greg now.
But now, since then, I've painted CG myself, my Krix, my my Kador. So
nice, man.
And I've taken over my Signar because he was too slow. Because the airbrush got me up to a level that I can then be like, okay, it's good enough for me now.
Also, speed.
Yeah, that speed's important.
It does make it a lot faster.
Oh, so good.
I base coated my Grey Knights with the airbrush so fast. And they look so bad. I, like, didn't have a very good touch control. So I basically, like, overpainted all of them. And they were all, like, lost all the detail.
Go a little further away.
Yeah. I figured it out.
You figured it out. But then, watched a couple videos.
Yeah. No, I watched a ton of videos. It didn't matter. I'm really not artistically inclined. So
So I posted a couple things on Partyfile with the airbrush stuff, because there's guys who are out there buying like $500-$600 airbrushes and stuff, and I don't see the need, I guess. I'm now buying them from China for like $15.
Nice.
$15 airbrush, and it's great. You know what's great about having two airbrushes? You just clean it once. Like if I'm doing whatever, silver or whatever, I do my silver and then put the brush into like a tub of water. That way the paint doesn't dry in there. Mm-hmm. Pick up the next one with the next color and then continue on.
Nice.
And
then
when I'm done with that one, I go upstairs and clean it all. So I have to go up and down the stairs to clean the damn thing. So for me to do it with one, it's a pain in the ass, because that means I'm going up and down like 10 times to try to finish like 5 models.
Right. And then this way you only go up and down 5 times.
See, that's what I like.
You know, you need like 4 more airbrushes.
I've got a third one on the way.
Well, $15, why not?
Yeah. Let's. I had a $150 one. It did no better.
Yeah.
So I have $15 and $150, and I guarantee you would not notice a difference. They work the same way. Everything's the same. The spray's awesome. Doesn't matter.
Nice. You need to hook me up with that, because I've got a couple boys that I'm getting into 40K, and I want to teach them how to airbrush, but I don't really want them to use my $150 airbrush.
See? Yeah. $15 airbrush. I'll show you exactly where I got them from. You'll be like, that is retarded.
Yeah.
And it is really easy. Nice. It's ridiculous.
So tell me, like, how are things going with Partyfile? Are you guys doing a lot of cool stuff?
No. As people know, we've been pretty quiet lately. Summertime's tough for us. Both our wives are teachers, so they're home too much. And normally Partyfile records during work hours, because Greg has a job where he goes and can work from home a couple times a week. Mm-hmm. And I work near home, so I'll be like, hey, Greg, come on over. And then shoots over, record a podcast, and boom, we're done. But it's harder when the wives are around, and we can't do that during the day anymore.
Is Greg going to be around tomorrow?
Greg's here now. You just missed him.
How have I not seen him?
He walked by, and then he went back that way. He'll be back.
I think we have some feedback.
I don't hear any feedback. I think we're good. Okay. It's you moving your mic around.
Yeah, it's probably me.
Yeah, Greg was just here. I saw him walk in. I don't know what he did, and then he walked out. But he'll be back. Yeah, he's here tonight. He played today, and then he'll be playing all day tomorrow.
Nice.
He brought his kid, who is like 12. 12 or 13.
Very cool.
So, yeah, they're going to play a bunch of, like, the off games. They want to learn mom pox, so we're going to have to show them how to do that. And
so Lionel was giving me a hard time about, like, I'm playing a bad army, apparently.
Right. And well, you knew that.
I did know that. Yeah, and
that's like me playing trolls.
Yeah. That was a good army, though. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Well,
yeah. He's like, I'm like, what do you think my record's going to be? There's 6 rounds in this GT, right? Or major, excuse me. He's like, probably 2-4. And I'm like, okay, if I go 3-3 or better, you're buying lunch. And he's like, if you go 2-4 or worse, you're buying lunch.
You're like, done.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, it's on. So now I have to go at least 500 to get free lunch.
I love that.
And have bragging rights. I really can't help but escalate things. It's a bad thing.
So my advice to you is to lose first round.
Yeah, just submarine it up.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
No, I can't do that. I want to see how I actually.
It's not me either. I can't do it.
I'm kind of interested to see how it goes, because I haven't competed seriously in anything for a long time. So I'm.
How are your rules on the 40K? Like you have it pretty down. It's not like.
It's not bad, and I know what my stuff does really well. I'll probably get some surprise BS. Moment. Yeah.
You know, that's funny, because like that's one of the things about 40K or War Machine that's pretty famous, is the gotcha moments. But now. I've been playing for a long time that my gotcha moments are few and far between.
Yeah.
But now when they happen, I appreciate them so much more.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, that's cool. Well, I lose, but I won't lose again.
You know what I've strangely been enjoying a lot is being able to think about the games that I've played and all the things that I can learn from them. Mm. It is really stimulating. It's like, oh my God, yeah, I could have done this. I could have done this. I could have done this. And it's... I didn't really have that in War Machine for a long time, because I'd played so much and done all that exploration. It
came down to dice rolls, probably. We're like, oh, if only I'd rolled a four or five.
I could still learn things, but I made less mistakes in War Machine than I'm making currently in 40K because, well, I'm a rube, so or a noob. But I love being a new player. Like, I just like, this is like really fun.
That's good. That's what you want.
Yeah.
You want to enjoy it. That's the way I am with Mompok right now. Like, I keep getting excited. I'm like, oh, I'm going to play. And then I don't get to play. I'm like, come on, damn it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I think I'm having so much fun. I think I'm actually starting a 40K podcast. So I think that's going to happen.
I would love to do that with you, but I know nothing about 40K.
Well, I'm actually, I don't know if I should probably share this, but I'm doing it with a fairly well-known 40K personality.
That's a good way to get started. Yeah. See, I should have done that with Party Foul. I should have just joined you and been like...
Yeah, we could have done that.
We didn't.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah. Hey, I remember, like, flashback. I remember we started Party Foul. We had, like, probably just all locals. Locals. And we had, I don't know, we were like 200, 250 likes or something. And I was like, I posted something like, oh, man, if we get 300, that'd be amazing. And then I think you posted like something like, careful what you wish for. And you just shared it on Muse. And we skyrocketed. I think we hit 1,000 that day.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was insane. Because my buddy's like, what happened? I'm like, and I didn't know because like Facebook wasn't as good as it was. Notifications weren't as fast as they were.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, dude, Party Foul just like skyrocketed up to like 700 likes. I'm like, what? I'm like, bullshit. Because there's still just like a bunch of guys in our basement having fun, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I was like, holy crap. And now I think we're just, yeah, we're like 3,700. So
high five, man. That's
yeah.
Awesome. That's amazing.
That's pretty good.
That's really good. Especially.
Here's the thing about 40K, though. I'll interrupt you. You're going to skyrocket past us, I guarantee you, in the first 3 months.
I don't think it'll take that long. No.
I actually think that's a long. I think it would be less than that because of how big the fan base and the player base is.
Yeah, and it's growing like crazy right now. It's so insane. Many people are coming into the game. It's a great time to get into 40K. Because there's so many events and so many vibrant, healthy communities, and there's so many things that work well, and GW is so committed to, like, fixing problems.
But GW's, like, I mean, they had some issues years ago, but they fixed them. They got rid of that guy and brought in a new guy.
Yeah, they're like Privateer Press circa 2010. It's like crazy.
Everything they do is right, and it's, yeah, like, all the mini games they're doing are brilliant.
Yeah.
And that just draws you in even more. You're like, son of a... Like, I own Shadespire and, like, almost all the factions. I think I'm short one faction.
Is that game good? I've heard it's good.
I've heard it's really good. We can play a bunch of it. I got it here, so. And I got, like, multiple decks and all of it. And I'm fully painted. Like, everything's painted.
Nice, man. That's amazing.
It's gross. And now we have the stupid contrast paint, so it'll be faster.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, no, I was looking because, out of curiosity, you know, I hadn't really looked at this, but I went and looked and kind of saw how many likes Muse had on Facebook, and then I went and looked at, like, some of the more prominent 40K sites.
10 times at least.
It is over 10.
Yeah, see, yeah. That's what I said, at least.
Yeah, I was like, wow, I did not realize, you know, that this game was that big. So
you're probably familiar with Mini Wargaming.
Yeah, they have 60,000 likes on Facebook.
Yeah. So...
How far are they from here? Like an hour?
From here? Yeah, probably about an hour. Yeah. You probably drove by it. Which way? No, you came from Windsor, so no, you didn't drive by it. They're like Welland area, I think. But their little tiny thing, they used to have a store. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know the history. They kind of got mad at GW and the way they were running things and the way that they handled customer relations and stuff. So they just got fed up and they're like, fine, we're done with the store. They like closed it. They didn't sell it. They just closed it. And they went straight to, like, all we're going to do is make videos.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of crazy. I was like, what? So they have their YouTube channel, which makes them, whatever, say, like, 50 grand a year or whatever. But they have this, like, weird, like, backdoor thing where you pay a subscription fee. It's, like, $100 a year or whatever it is.
Yeah, to get their videos, right?
Yeah. It's like they make like $1 million a year.
Yeah, have you seen their bunker?
I've heard they just got a new one. They have a partner that came out.
Amazing. Yeah.
And now I think they're opening a store again. Like they're doing that again.
Well, good for them because they put a lot of work in and a lot of, you know, that is a passion project. And what people have to understand, and somehow we have to get past this because the world has changed. When people do a passion project, it's okay for them to make money on it.
Oh, 100%.
It's not a bad thing. There's a lot of people that like, you know,
They almost want you to fail.
They do. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's like a really, but it's kind of an outdated model because if you look at the way the world is today, there's a lot of content producers that make significant money making YouTube videos.
Oh my God.
That I don't even.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah. So if somebody's making content that you appreciate and really like, and it's niche, like 40K content, let's be honest, even if that's a very large market or Warhammer Machine and Hordes content, it's very, very niche. So in order for you to get that, like, you should support it.
Yeah.
Right?
Any way you can support it.
Yeah.
We tried that, like, selling t-shirts and stuff, and that's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to go. Oh, he's over there. I'll have to do it.
I think Patreon is actually a really good model for that, especially in a smaller niche like War Machine and Hordes. And this is coming from a person, like, we did the Muse podcast for years and years, and we never made a penny, you know?
From the podcast. Yeah.
From the podcast.
We don't make a thing for... Well, we have a Patreon now, which is, like, tiny, like, $10 a month or something.
Yeah,
it just helps cover the cost of doing it, which is, like, appreciated.
I think the model Do you want to just talk about this for a minute?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I've had a lot of thoughts about this because I've been kind of thinking about, like, all right, how do we move forward from where we're at to, like, being able to produce killer content for War Machine and Hordes or a 40K? And I think what it boils down to is you have to produce content that you basically sell through Patreon.
Yeah.
So, but you still should, you know, it's okay to do stuff for free. Like, it's fine, but it's also okay to charge for a quality product and then put the money that you're making from that into making it a better product. Right?
100%. Yeah. You can't just pocket it and...
Well, no. There's got to be a reason. There's got to be value that you provide. But if there's value there, it's okay to pay for it.
And it's okay to make money. And it's okay to, you know...
Yeah. It's okay to get paid for your efforts, right? So, it's interesting. And it's just something I've been, reflecting a lot on my journey with Muse on Minis and then the accessory company and, you know, everything else. So, yeah.
I've seen, Gorilla Miniatures, Ash.
Yeah, awesome, he's doing great.
He started
those contrast videos blew up.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing, right? Because he was smart. He got on it. It's the first one to do it, right? There was like that store who got it and they posted, here's the base colors, them, and then did them three of each.
Yep.
That exploded.
Yeah, I saw that on my feed like a million times.
Yeah, that store was kind of like, you know, once you find out where it was, you're just like, oh, shit, that guy was like, oh, we're a little bit famous from that. Like, that's kind of cool.
It is cool.
Yeah. I'm like, good for them. I mean, I took it and posted it. I didn't know where it was from because I just saw it show up. So I'm like, copy, paste, post it up there. I still have it on my phone and I still use it. Yeah. I'll open my phone up and look. What color am I kind of going for? I need that one.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'll go buy that one pot or whatever. Yeah.
Do you want to hear the name of my new podcast?
Yes, I do.
It's Art of War.
I like that.
Yeah. And then it's we're going to refer to it as AOW. And then the website for it is going to be AOW40K.
That's good.
So it's real easy.
Yeah.
Real easy to find.
You have the site locked up. I can't go steal it on you?
You cannot steal it. No, I've registered the domain. I don't think I would share it until then. And I think we'll actually be launching in roughly 2 weeks.
That'll be cool.
Yeah,
you make sure you share it to me and I'll post it up.
I'd appreciate that. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. But 100%. This is... I'm so energized, right? I feel good.
That's good. The passion is there.
Yeah.
See, that's what I like.
I'm excited.
We're talking with like Mom Pock that Greg's like, because I'm now, Greg hasn't even played a game. He just sees me buying and painting.
Yeah.
That he bought the apes. So he's like, I know that I've got him now.
Kong.
So he's like, he's got Kong,
yeah.
Kongo or whatever his name is. So then we're like talking already like, oh, we'll do videos. Like, why not? We got the stuff. Might as well do it. So.
You want some free advice for that?
Yeah, fire away.
So I think that miniature games are very slow in plotting and difficult to enjoy watching a video of. Because really, when you're in the action of the moment, like you basically want to see the movement phase and then see the results of like all the shooting and stuff.
Yeah, you don't want to see the whole thing.
You don't have to see every dice roll or everything else. So
we might do like a recap, like not show the dice rolls, be like, oh, he slams over here. And he's,
record the video and either speed it up or cut out large parts of it. Make it a half an hour show, right?
Make it easier to watch.
Make it and then put some production value in it. And I think you would have a product that people would be excited to watch. And then if you could make it high level play, like
eventually
competitive play, like, with good players and good tactics. And then it becomes something that's very compelling.
I mean,
right?
Mom Pock's going to be super niche, but yeah, we can apply that to everything.
Yeah,
that we do. Yeah,
yeah.
It's always been my goal to do it. I know, like Arcane Assist, I think's done it pretty good because Evan spends more time doing that, speeding it up, and doing the commentary and stuff.
He's a hard worker for sure.
Yeah.
So
and I'm not there for that yet. Like that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
The one thing that we're going to do,
but just as an aside, if it was set up on a Patreon and you made some money from it,
then
right?
It makes worthwhile. I know, totally, 100%. Again, it's niche though. It's so hard when it's niche. What we're going to do next is Greg and his son, who's 12, Greg's going to teach him how to play War Machine.
Awesome.
And we're going to get it all on tape.
That's amazing.
And then that's how we're going to release the little video. So he's going to show him how to do a power attack, how to do a charge. So he'll go through with the videos, and then we're going to edit it all together and make little shows with that.
That's amazing.
That's the plan.
What are you going to call it?
Party Foul. I don't know. We don't have a name for it. It's all going to be on Party Foul. But yeah, I don't know what it'll be. It'll be on the YouTube channel anyways. We'll call it something. It's Greg and Adam.
Naming's important.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. We haven't thought that far ahead, but he's like, he's super excited to do
can
it.
Can you see where my head's at? Like, it's bad.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. Bring it on, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
You helped raise my game. That's all good.
Yeah, it's actually one of the things I want to talk to Skari about is I want to help him if I can, because I like what he does.
Mm-hmm. And he's another guy that's now gone full, like, he's supporting his family off his channel.
Right, which is amazing, which is, like...
Fantastic.
What a great time to be alive. If you think about the opportunities that we all have to do, to pursue the passions that we have, and then, you know, maybe monetizing it, maybe not, but if you can, like, that's amazing, and the internet allows that, so it's actually pretty cool. It is pretty cool.
I mean, you watch, like, Ryan, is it Ryan's Toy Reviews? Have you heard about that kid?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. He's a 7-year-old kid, okay? He had a viral video. It exploded. He now makes, from YouTube, $1 million a month.
Yeah, good for him.
A month.
Yeah, that's great.
Insane. That's, I mean, that's like, oh. He's one. I mean, whatever. That's just like, I only know about it because my kid watches it, so then I like Google it. Like,
right. Yeah, what is this? Yeah, if I ever want to know like what's actually going on in the world, I go talk to my kids.
Yeah,
because I have no clue.
I mean, my kid's 7, but he's like watching this stuff. I'm like, who is this kid? Why are you watching this? But now, like, the families have all quit their jobs. They're like, and they full on just make more videos. And then I think they're on whatever, some kind of news or whatever. And they're like, well, what if Ryan doesn't want to do this anymore? Because he's 7.
Yeah.
Maybe at 8 he doesn't want to do it. And he's like, then we're done.
Yeah.
But I mean, really, at this point, they've made so much money.
Yeah, what difference
does it
make?
Matter.
Yeah.
But now they're smart and they've started other channels
from
that channel. So if he does quit and that one shuts down, they got 5 other ones that are bringing in whatever, a couple hundred grand a month. You know what I mean?
Whatever it is.
Doesn't
matter.
Like, which is awesome. I'm like, you know,
what a life,
more power to them. Yeah.
And I guarantee you, like, it probably sounds easy to us, but I bet they're working their tails off.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
I like it. I mean, maybe one day we'll get to that point where we're making so much money that we can just hire a guy to follow us around with a camera.
Yeah, well...
And then you hire an editor, and it's just all of a sudden you have a show.
So, like, for the podcast that I'm doing, I'm actually going to be hiring an editor that's a professional to do sound editing and make it sound really good, right? Because I think that's important.
It is.
Yeah.
The better it sounds, the more... You can. I don't even know if people are going to listen this long because of the background noise.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
They may have all. They may
they
have
might
all.
Have been like, we're out.
They also might be like, I don't know who these guys are.
Well, that's definitely going to happen. Yeah. Except for you. You're a legend. They'll know who you are.
That is not true.
It's true.
As a matter of fact, I bet like tomorrow, if we walked around the room, less than 20% of the people would know who I was.
What room?
The War Machine room.
No way.
Yeah.
I think it'd be more than that.
I don't know.
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, I know everybody in this room knows who you are, so. You may not know them, but they know you.
We'll see. It's a bet.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll have to, like, walk you up to, like, Goldfarb and be like, who's this guy? We'll see if he knows.
Yeah.
And I might be eating my words, but whatever.
I was thinking about it. I might try to get the guys back together just to do, like, a... where are they now?
Should
we up
That'd
to?
That'd be fun too.
Episode.
Yeah,
just for funsies.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah,
I say I miss all the. I don't know. Although lately there's been a spike, maybe because of the
Oblivion
Mark IV coming out. Yeah. So what do you think about Oblivion? Let's talk about that.
I haven't looked at all into it.
Okay, so here's my like hot take on it, which is maybe wrong, and maybe this is why PP doesn't like me. I mean, it's genius. Have you heard about the stupid model that comes with it?
Mm-mm.
Okay, it's broken as shit. Everybody needs it because it works for every faction. So Oblivion's going to be, what, 50 US probably? Everybody's going to buy it, open the box, take the model out, throw the rest in the garbage.
Really?
100%.
That's
honestly, I don't care about the rest of it. I just want the model.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. The amount of stuff it does, it would blow your mind. Like, it's probably got, like, 3 sides to the card. It's insane. I'd have to bring, like, Jeremy on here because he knows everything that it does.
That's cool, though.
I mean, it's ridiculous. But, I mean, it's genius. But it's, like, Elish. Elish? Whatever
his
name is.
When they sold that White Dwarf.
Right? The No Quarter.
No Quarter. Oh, yeah. Look at See, like...
Yeah, no, yeah. You're in the GW. So they brought No Quarter, number one. They're like, oh, it comes with this model. The model was so good, everybody wanted it.
Yep.
It wasn't, like, over the top like the Hermit is, but... That's the only reason why I bought it. I honestly don't think I read a page of the magazine.
Right?
And I didn't even buy it right away. It was afterwards when people were like, oh my God, this model's so broken. I was like, ugh. We actually had a store in Hamilton that had like five copies. And one of my buddies was like, buy all five.
So true story. I bought extras of those. I have two in my War Machine bag that I just looked through the other day. I'm like, what is in this pocket? I'm like, oh, I remember this.
That's crazy.
So if anybody needs an LH, let me know.
Yeah, you
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Send us a message. I don't know. We're calling it what? We're calling it Mark 4. You can call it Mark 3.5. They don't like to hear that at all. But it's pretty much what it is. They're not restarting it, but they're trying to clean it up. Which, it's fine. The only problem... Why didn't they just do it? Why tell us they're doing it?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, just keep it a secret. If you're going to release it at Gen Con or something, then release it at Gen Con. Just say, hell, there's this cool model coming out called the Hermit. You can get it at Gen Con. That's all I need to know. Don't tell me about 3.5.
Right.
Because guess what? I hate making lists right now.
Yeah, because you don't know what the rules are.
I just don't care.
Right?
Like, yeah. I'm just like, oh, okay, I'm going to make a CG list. So I'll just add all this stuff. Oh, I didn't get my max points. I only got 2 free models. This is a bad list.
Yeah.
And now you find out there's a new way it's coming. You just get all the stuff as long as you stick in the thing. You're like, oh, well, that's kind of cool.
That is a nice change.
Yeah, I'm like, I just want to do it now, though. I don't want to wait.
Yeah, and that's a fair criticism. Yeah.
And that, and I'm not going to say that's what hurt attendance for War Machine at TGS, because it's lower this year than last year. I'm not going to lie to anybody.
That's not even on you. I know that MuseCon was significantly down.
Yeah.
So what Crump told me was they were up a little bit year to year for number of attendees, but everything, like all the other games gained, and War Machine was down basically what all the other games gained.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah. So tomorrow is like kind of like our bar. So last year today we had, I want to say, 26 players in the LCQ. This year we had 21.
That's not too bad. So, I mean, that could just be explained by timing or whatever.
Whatever. So, well, we're talking 5 players. So I guess I can't really complain. But tomorrow is the team event, which is a 3-man team event. We only have 8 teams, where last year we had 12. That's the noticeable difference, is in the Saturday attendance. So, I mean, there's been some drama going on behind the scenes and stuff, so we lost.
Always drama.
Yeah, whatever.
Always drama. There was so much drama. People have no idea how much drama. There was always drama.
Yeah.
So it was always really dumb too, actually.
I don't remember what we had. Maybe Fab can tell us. Fab, quick question, sir. What did we have, Fab? What did we have in Warmish or 40K last year? What was our attendance? You remember? We weren't a GT. We were. Was it 50? Or is it 48? Didn't it drop or something? Yeah. So it was just below 50, and this year we're over 70 or 70 right on? So 72 this year.
Yeah.
So officially a major. That put us, what, that's quick math, I'm horrible.
That's a 33% increase.
So that's 33% increase there. And then our Hobbit last year, I mean, I don't even know anything about the Hobbit. And these guys approached us. Well, hey, can we have our event there? And we're just like, whatever. You can have some space.
Yeah.
You know, it's just another game system. We're like, sure, come be a part of us. Like, that's kind of the way I thought about it. I'm like, whatever. I'm like, their tables look amazing and stuff. It's awesome. But they had 28 players last year, and they got, I want to say, 52 this year.
Yeah. And then Age of Sigmar is going to have some amount this year, right?
Age of Sigmar did not exist last year. We have 32 this year.
Wow. That's amazing.
So that was like, we sold out there. So, yeah. I mean, overall, the con is up.
Yeah.
War Machine down a little bit, but overall, it's up. We had Infinity last year and the year before. Nothing bad to say about the Infinity players, but they're not as committed to cons. And I don't know how to say it without... They don't want to pay like a con price.
Yeah, so they're kind of like the X-Wing crowd.
Exactly like the
X-Wing crowd. They're very much into... going to an event, not a convention, right? And because they've never, it's weird, they have a different, they didn't grow up like we did in miniature games and the convention scene and all of that. So when I was in that community for a short time, that's the one thing I noticed, like, you couldn't get them to come out to a con because they're like, ooh.
$30? Yeah.
Or $50, like, dude, that's a lot for an event. But it's not an event, it's like a con.
Yeah,
you know?
They don't understand the back end that you've got to pay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this whole thing is, it's an event. It's exactly what it is. Like, there's so much stuff behind the scenes and the expenses to it that, sure, you can go to a tournament at a local store and pay $15.
Right.
Right, and play your tournament all day long. But
you get a local store experience.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing. But here, so you pay $65, but you get 3 days of gaming.
Mm-hmm.
So... really?
And for our American listeners, that's 65 Canadian, so that's like $12 American or something.
You're not wrong. And we have Americans here too, not just you. There's other ones that came up. So I don't think they understand that. Because if you really think about it, 3 days of gaming for $65 and the hangout and the party and the drinking and the, you know what I mean? Like, we actually have a bar here.
It's an experience, like I said.
You know what I mean? A lot of cons you go to, they don't have the drinking right there. People drink and have it hidden and stuff.
Yeah, they do.
We have it right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Come to TGX.
Come to TGX. You can drink and play.
Yeah.
And sometimes when the judge makes a call, they bring a shot glass and you have to take a shot with me.
I'm in.
No, those are good times. I don't make judge calls for you. Sorry, sir. I don't play 40K anymore.
Yeah, I'm not even going to see you tomorrow, huh?
I'll come up. Yeah, yeah. Right. I'm downstairs in my little dungeon. That's what we did.
Yeah,
so
it's
good.
I'm happy for you, though, man. You're building something here. This is going to be sweet.
It's like, say, year three, and it's been growing every year. This may be our last year here.
And you're going to go do a bigger venue?
Maybe.
One with air conditioning.
Super close. No, I'm kidding. What are you talking about? It's freezing in here.
No, it's nice in here, but out in the hallways,
it's
is hotter
brutal. Out there. Yeah. Our room's cold, by the way.
Yeah, it's nice.
But it's hot. I've been frozen all day today in here. I'm like, I need a coffee or something. We're right at that point where we could probably squeeze one more year here, depending on what attendance is.
Right.
Because this will be pretty full, because these are all 6x4 games, and that's a problem. We have two rooms we didn't use, so we could technically grow into those rooms. I love this place. They treat us awesome here. I have a great relationship.
It's a nice place, and the rooms are great.
The rooms are fantastic. So I found this place through Lionel, but we started running OTC here, which is the Ontario Team Championships. That's my little baby. And we run, we had 38 teams this year, 190 players.
That's got to be one of the, is that the biggest event in Canada?
Biggest event in North America, my friend.
No.
Single tournament, it is. There's no tournament with more players.
Are you sure?
Yeah. The only thing bigger than us is WTC.
Single tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be right.
You can have an attendance at a con more than us.
Right.
But a single tournament, nobody bigger than us in North America.
190 players?
190 players.
I swear that there were some bigger events than that.
LCQ at War Machine Weekend had 156. Not 190.
Oh, this year.
It was last year, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what they had this year.
Because, I mean, I used to run Mayhem Cups, and those were like 110. Yeah. Think about that for a minute.
That's 110.
I mean,
I got 80 more.
Yeah, but I'm not running like a big team event over a couple of days. It was like, well, I guess they were pretty big, actually.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, we were running them in a store.
I didn't even think about it. Honestly, it wasn't me that came up with it. I was just like, it wasn't even a thought. It was when we had 32, and Agatha was one of our judges. She's like, you know, we're the biggest event. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, we have 160 players.
That's amazing.
And they're like, the LCQ is 156. You beat them by four. I was like, oh, yeah. I guess I never thought about that. And
that's
then the
cool.
Next year, we went even bigger. So
yeah, congratulations, man. That's great success.
That's pretty cool.
But again, that's a high-quality event, right?
Every year, I will say, we try to raise the bar again. I mean, it's also a passion project, like you said. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with making money doing it.
Although you probably don't make any money on that.
I'm hoping. One day.
Yeah.
I mean, but we've also come up with some ingenious things. Like, so the OTC, for people who haven't been, the first year we had 16 teams, and it was like beg, borrow, steal off everybody, every store, boards. Like, I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
I didn't kickstart it. I did it myself. Like,
right.
Just like from the ground up. So we had 16 teams.
Look at you throwing shade at the ATC.
Oh, did I? Oh,
yeah.
Not intentional at all.
You're still mad about them scheduling on the same day as you?
Not at all. Like, it hurt them, I think, more than it hurt us.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because, yeah.
Sorry, I just stirred the pot.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it, but whatever. So that was 16, sold out in a week. The second year, I figured it out, because we were doing it at a Legion Hall, so costs were down, it was easy, it was only like $100 a team or whatever. So the second year, I used that money and I was buying clocks and I was, you know, trying to like get the tables and stuff like that. So then
2D terrain.
Yeah,
I think we gave you some.
That was after the second year. We sold out in an hour. We got 24 teams.
Amazing.
And I was like, oh crap. So then the third year we moved it here, and I was like, yeah, we can do 32. And this was the kind of funny situation where
was
like
that the year we played.
Yes.
Muse brought a team.
No, you played the second one. So that wasn't... Because this was the fifth year, so that was... You played the fourth year.
Fourth year,
yeah.
Okay.
So third year, this is where I like was... So normally what I do is I go live. I'm like, hey, guys, registration's open November 1st. It's always November 1st. I don't know why, I just always did. 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. I think it's 9 a.m. And I'm just like, you know, email this the thing and, you know, your team name, whatever. And I was bored that day, and I'd already told everybody 9 o'clock, and everybody's all, and I'm kind of out of the loop, and I don't know that everybody's been talking and stuff, right? So at 8:55, I'm like, all right, registration's open. I posted it on like Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing happens for like 3 minutes. And then my PayPal account exploded. And nice. By, so 9:01, we were sold out.
That's insane.
So 6 minutes, I actually had 37 teams.
That's insane.
And then even by 9:15, still people were sending me money. And I was like, stop, I can't take any more. So I had to like refund people, and it was like the first 32 got in. That was it.
Wow.
Year four, I got smart. And this is when you came in.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I always say have something that has demand. How can we benefit from that? So I came up with a sponsorship idea. It was basically a week early before registration, a team could be sponsored by somebody and pay an extra $100 and get in. And basically the $100 covered the sponsor. They would get their name on the website, a clickable link, so that
right,
the sponsor
yeah.
would help out. We got 7 teams. That $700 extra that we made, because we charge an extra $100, but I think I put it all in 2D terrain. Like that was basically,
yeah,
you know what
I remember
mean?
That.
Yeah. So then we sell out in 6 minutes again for the rest of the spots. So then last year I was like, I did the same thing a week early.
Yeah.
35 teams.
Paid a week early?
Paid a week early.
High five, man. Congratulations. That's
35
awesome.
35 teams. Do the math. That's
yeah.
$3,500.
That's awesome.
That's insane.
You deserve it. That's a lot. Look, think about all the work you put in.
Yeah.
Believe, you're getting like $10 an hour.
But what did I do?
No, like $2 an hour.
What did I do with the money?
You invested all back in.
Yeah. Guess who owns probably more fat mats than any other single person in the world?
Nice.
I bought 100 fat, well, I don't even know fat mats, Table War. I think it was Table War that helped us out.
Yeah, they gave you a good deal?
Yeah.
Nice.
So I bought 100.
I remember I pointed you at like four different people.
We tried to do the other stuff, and it was like the crunch time was too hard.
Yeah. Well, they ended up giving you a better deal anyway, right?
Yeah, it was way better.
Yeah, so like...
They totally hooked us up.
That's amazing. But again... Awesome.
Awesome. It was good.
So you're building something. So when are you going to put in the OTC 40K team tournament?
When am I going to do that?
Yeah, just talk to Val. Get it. Combine it. Get it added. Because people love.
I don't have the room.
Well, get a bigger venue.
Yeah, that's the thing. I love this place.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Well, I will tell you. I just watched the ATC for 40K. They had 85-man teams in South Carolina. And people love that format.
That's good.
They love it.
I love team events. It's great, fantastic. The problem with 40K, look at the tables.
Yeah, you do need terrain.
I want nothing to do with that.
Just make Val do it.
That's fine. If that's the option, 100% I could do that. I honestly want nothing to do with it. The first year and second year of OTC, I had 3D terrain because it was still a thing back then.
Yeah,
and
it, moving it, blah, blah,
it wasn't
blah.
Even mine, but borrowing it, it was like I needed like 4 carloads to get it there. And
I remember.
It was a nightmare. So now that I have 2D terrain, it literally fits in like a 12 by 12 box.
Yeah.
All the terrain.
It's great for event organizers.
90 tables. It's fantastic. I can't go back to 40K. So I'll talk to Val. If Val's interested. There's talk that underneath this hall, there's space. They could turn it into another hall. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah, that's where we're like, maybe we can do something.
Maybe stay here. Do they have a bigger property, Sandman?
There's other properties, but no, this is probably their biggest one.
I see.
All right, we should probably wind it up. Looks like we have a winner, so we'll go figure what that is.
All right. Well,
so,
thanks for having me, Scott.
No, thanks for coming on, buddy.
It's been a good time.
We're going to be here all weekend, so maybe we'll get another one done.
Maybe, but tomorrow there's 4 rounds of 40K, which will just kill me.
I've only got 3 rounds, so I'll be done before you.
Yeah, that's normal.
Playing lots of games afterwards, so tomorrow's going to be the party night.
All right. We'll party like rock stars.
And now we get to go eat dinner at 10:14.
Denny's it is.
No, there's a Master Steaks. We can go there.
Are they open?
Yeah.
Nice.
They're open late, I think. So I'll double check. But yeah. So everybody, thanks for listening. We got John Damaris here live at TGX. Hopefully you guys listened all the way to the end.
Yeah.
I should give somebody... So send me a message and I'll send you Party Foul Dice if you listened all the way.
Nice.
I've done this before. It's fun.
Yeah.
First one gets it, though.
All right.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Peace.